Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of November 20th, 2015. I am Chris Randazzo and I am your host. With me tonight are Armor Upgrade Dean DeFalco.
They got helmets on their heads, but I got a watermelon instead.
And sitting in for Dan Ryan is silent protagonist Alex Flincham.
I would talk, but I'm silent, so I'll just sit here. Hi, guys.
some excellent improvisation skills. We have an extreme shortage of spare time on our hands, and there's lots of RPGs that we've never played. What are we going to do about it? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Gamer. Hello again, and welcome to episode 75 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast. 3DS is a veritable cornucopia of RPGs on the way, but RPGs take time, which got me thinking, if I had time, what RPG would I tackle? This is the question I posed to the group this week before we get our answers. What about you? What RPGs did you miss out on that you would like to go back and play? Have you delved into the depths of Magical Star Sign for the Nintendo DS? We want to know. Email us at mail@geekade.com and let us know what you think of our show, what you think of Suns That Are Golden, what topics you would like to discuss in the future, etc., because we always want to hear from you, the listener. But back to business. Like I said earlier, Dan is sick. He's off somewhere dying in a corner, not playing an RPG. So we are joined tonight by Alex. Why don't you give us a quick rundown of who you are and what you do?
All right. My name is Alex. I go by The Flinch. No one really calls me that, so it's pretty much just me going by that to myself, third person. So I've done a Let's Play called Beige Moose Gaming here for a little while, 8 months or so, and now I'm here talking about RPGs that I never got to play that I wanted to. So hello.
Hi. That was a glorious intro. Fantastic.
Thank you.
I can really hear the beige in your voice. It's well done.
Smooth and milky.
It's bland.
Would you like to know my secret?
I would love to know your secret.
I smoke a lot of cigarettes, I drink a lot of whiskey, and I also drink a lot of milk. And that's how you get a golden, luxurious, beige voice like mine.
Wow. Do you hear that, viewers at home? That's how you do it.
Yep.
Anyway, so why don't you start us off? What game would you like? What RPG, if you had the spare time, would you go back and play?
All right, well, I got into a lot of gaming through my family. I watched my aunt play Dark Cloud a lot, and I loved watching it, and so I kind of, like, understood it, but it was one of those things that I never picked up, and so it was always kind of intriguing to me, but alas, never got to touch it, so it's something I would definitely go back and grab, and the more I talk about it, the more I want to do it, so who knows, maybe I will.
So it's one of those really funky games that I... really interesting, like you basic dungeon crawling sort of stuff going on with a kind of light RPG elements, and then all of a sudden it was like picking up these items, and it's like, oh, you're gonna rebuild your town. Here's a house. Here's a store.
That's right. There's a whole wacky like town building. I know almost nothing about this game other than I just went on a rant before we started recording because people used to come to my game crazy all the time and swear that their friend had Zelda on PlayStation 2. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? It doesn't exist. And they're like, no, it's real. It's on. Oh, look, there it is. It's on your shelf. I'm like, just because the guy has a green hat doesn't mean it's Legend of Zelda. It says Dark Cloud on the cover, for Christ's sake.
Well, I mean, it's, like I said, it's Dark Cloud, and that's just his, you know, pseudonym. It was actually the prequel to Twilight Princess. Nobody knows.
Well, shit. See, I thought you were going to go the Final Fantasy route. It was like a sequel to Final Fantasy VII about Cloud, who had dyed his hair black and started calling himself Dark Cloud.
No, then he'd start calling himself Zack.
Well, it's the Final Fantasy equivalent of Cloud and Dark Cloud, like Link and Dark Link, you know. Mm,
gotcha. Or Pit and Dark Pit. Or Samus and Dark
exactly.
Samus.
Exactly.
Or
or Mario and Dark Mario.
Except this game was nowhere near remarkably as successful as those ones.
It did get a sequel with a very colorful cover, if I remember correctly.
It did. It sort of fizzled after that. I think the first one got a lot of really good recognition for some different aspects of gameplay, and then when they kind of just did the same thing again, that's not very intuitive.
Well, I mean, it was an early PS2 game, right? Wasn't it like
the original one?
It was still a blue disc game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you're
yes.
So I know it went greatest hits, but it was also going up against stuff like Orphan and The Bouncer. So,
hey, the bouncer was great. I had that game. I beat it multiple times.
Oh man, I remember I rented and played that game because a friend of mine, well, I call her friend. She was actually my ex-girlfriend in high school. But, you know, we'll just call her a friend for all intents and purpose. She was like, you gotta rent this game and play it. She was like, the only reason you want to play The Bouncer is for when they say, The Bouncer. Like, that's it. And that's all you play the game for.
There's this big ex-bouncer guy. And at the end, the only thing I remember about the game is he goes, this one's for Master Mikado. And that's it. Nothing else sticks. Actually, the only other thing that stuck is that it's basically Sora. Scion is Sora.
Yeah, like, the character design was, like, essentially Sora. And that, I remember, what was it, when that came out before Kingdom Hearts, right?
Yeah, very, very long before
Kingdom Hearts. And, like, that game came out, and it was one of the biggest pain in the asses. All right, so, I was working at a Funko Land when this came out, and there was those standees that used to build. And so this was a cross between the Bouncer and Final Fantasy IX. And so I had this cutout of Zidane, who looked like an Olsen twin, and then the Bouncer, and like this big creepy oval that had like a lenticular thing on it that looked weird from different angles. And it was such a pain in the ass to build that thing. And
well, now I have to know, is it like good Olsen twins or bad Olsen twins?
I'm going to say bad Olsen twins.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I mean, it was like, this was back when they were like, you know, Mary-Kate and Olsen's, Mary-Kate and Ashley's Game Boy games. So it was like, even before the Sweet 16 stuff, it was like, you know, Mary-Kate and Ashley's Super Sleuths or whatever horse shit like that. And it's just like, here's the main character of Final Fantasy IX, and he looks like an Olsen twin with a tail and a dagger. Nothing against Final Fantasy IX. The game was phenomenal, but Zidane's character design was ugh. But yeah. And also, everyone thought the Bouncer was going to be an RPG, and so...
beat him up.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, it was... I mean, it's one of the few that I really remember sticking out that seemed like a throwback to the NES and SNES beat 'em ups. Well, and Sega. I mean, I can't leave out Sega.
Nah, Streets of
Rage. It was definitely an interesting game. It was fun for a while. It got way too drawn out, and I think it was because this was, if I'm not mistaken, was almost a release title. It was very, very close to being like in very, very like either release or very early on.
It wasn't a launch game, but it was definitely really early. Like I said, it was still being advertised next to Final Fantasy IX, which is a PS1 game. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was released in 2000, so
the first year.
Yeah, I beat it, and again, it wasn't a terrible game, but I expected better from Square Enix, or was it still Square at that point?
SquareSoft at that point.
Yeah, it's SquareSoft. Yeah.
Well, you know, still expected better. I'm glad they reused the character for something else, and he kind of took off because I like the design, even though they made him quite a bit more goofier. They didn't keep the name either. I kind of like Scion instead of Sora, but whatever, to each their own.
There needs to be a Bouncer stage in Kingdom Hearts 3.
I would love that.
Oh, man. That is brilliant.
Actually, it would be terrible, but...
Oh, well, I mean, you know, it's like having any of those stages where you're like... It's like having a Game & Watch stage where you're like, this looks stupid as shit, but it's still kind of cool. And, you know, in my eyes. But yeah, I mean, I'd say if anybody hasn't played The Bouncer, go find it and play it. Just do it. Do yourself
find
a
it,
favor.
Play it, and hate it.
Or love
it. Or not.
Caress it, make it your own. Yeah. It's actually, it is a game that's missing from my library, if I'm not mistaken. I should really jump on top of that. It's one of those games I always intended to get, and just kind of never got around to getting. So, I'll have to pony up the $3.50 and find it somewhere because I don't think it's worth much.
Hey, now you. It's those are the games that you don't think would be worth anything, but then you go and look, and then they end up being worth, you know, $40-$50 bucks just because everyone's like, God, I hate this game, but it's so bad that I'm going to spend the money on it anyway.
Or,
I
mean, or $3.08.
That's where it's at, isn't it?
If you want to use one, yeah. If you want a new one, yeah, you're going to be shelling out a bit
well,
of
money. Well,
yeah,
who the hell needs a brand new sealed copy? Oh, yeah, see, like a complete copy. Of the $11.99. Yeah.
I'm sorry, me?
I want that plastic wrap still on it.
Christmas
so
is right around the corner. That's right, so I can look at it, so I can put it inside of a sweet little shadow box and set it in front of my nice lampshade that quietly lights my room, and I can just stare at it from my couch and say, ooh.
Oh, the bouncer. Just touch yourself while you're staring at his childish face.
Wow, man, I have not looked at this cover in so long. He is
it looks like...
He's like a cross between Sora and Squall. From Final Fantasy VIII.
He's more of a cross between Sora and that lead singer from My Chemical Romance, if I had to say.
I like the choker around his neck. Very.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, this was 2000, okay? Things were different.
It was a different time. Like big, stupid looking plaid pants with zippers in places that didn't need zippers.
Oh God, this is glorious! Yeah, I totally need.
All right,
this
game.
I just need. I need to have this next to my copy of Fantavision for the ultimate PlayStation 2 experience.
Oh God! Actually, when I went to GameStop to pick up my PS2, it was Real Pool, Fantavision, or The Bouncer, and I got two games. So I got The Bouncer and Real Pool because fuck Fantavision.
You didn't want the fireworks simulator.
No, I didn't.
Literal tech demo that they pressed and sold as a game.
Yeah, no, did not me. Not me, man.
Oh, yeah, it was the precursor to Fireworks Tycoon.
God, the PS2 launch was like the saddest day I've ever worked in a video game store. Like, our store was allocated like, I think, 3 consoles or some bullshit like that. And I mean, we had taken pre-orders like out the ass. Like, we had a ton of pre-orders, and then Sony was like, nah, you're going to get like 4. So, I mean, it was, and the people that we called to come in, they weren't even like jazzed about it. They came in, they were like, all right, well, I sold my Dreamcast, so let me get Madden. Tekken, I guess? Sure. And a couple controllers, and then they went home and watched some DVDs. Because it's like everyone sold their Dreamcast for this thing, and then it came out with not a whole lot that was like incredible. Like, Tekken Tag was neat, but Soul Calibur was fucking awesome. The podcast for another podcast.
Yeah, so Dark Cloud. Dark Cloud.
Okay, so essentially, I'll catch everybody up. You know, if you haven't seen it, if you know nothing about it, Dark Cloud was essentially you're like, say, between the age of 9 and 14, and you're like, mommy, I really want this Final Fantasy game for Christmas. And she's like, okay, son. And you open it, and then you get Dark Cloud, and she's like, is that what you wanted? And then you're like, okay. And you cry into the Christmas tree.
Yeah, that's pretty close, man. I'm not going to lie. That is accurate. If you're like, yeah, I need the final Cloud for 14. Yeah. And yeah, the poor teller would do his best and be like, Final Fantasy, Dark
Fantasy.
Dark Cloud. This
one's
more money. Buy this one.
Go with it.
yeah, because, oh my God, yeah, there wasn't anything out at that point.
And there was
Final Fantasy
not
wise.
Final Fantasy wise. No, there was this. There was Okage the Shadow King, which was.
Ooh, yeah, that was.
That was a
I like that one,
funny
honestly.
Game. Gameplay wise, not spectacular, but any game where your parents sell your sister's soul to the devil. No, your soul to the devil so that your sister's shadow won't be pink. What a great premise for a game.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
And then Orphan, Scion of Sorcery, whatever the frig that was.
Yeah, I didn't play either of those, and I'm not sad.
Yeah, Orphan just looked dumb. Like, as dumb as the main character of the Bouncer looks, Orphan is like generic anime dude, red headband. Oh, boy. Orphan.
I feel like that's where they all started, at least, you know? Like, you look at the dude, and you're like, yep, well, I see where this gets its... art draw from, and then you go from there, and it's either something that you absolutely love, or you put it there and really consider selling it, then you realize that you're going to get about $1.50 for it if you take it in, so you might as well keep it, and then people laugh at you when they come over and see your collection and notice that it's in there.
Oh, Orphan, that guy's got finger gloves.
Oh, who doesn't love finger gloves?
Man, how else do you do sports or whatever?
Or shoot
you do with finger
fireballs
gloves.
Out of your hand. Like he's doing on the
cover. True.
Anyway, all right. Let's reel it back in. Dark Cloud, a good choice. Go team. Dean, why don't you go next?
So the game I want to talk about is a game that I briefly played when I was younger. I didn't really play it too much just because there was other stuff that came out right around the same time. I think this this game for the Xbox 360 came out around the same time that Lost Odyssey did, and when I got my hands on Lost Odyssey, I kind of fell into that instead. But an RPG all the same. This one is called Blue Dragon. For those of you who haven't heard of it, Blue Dragon was a RPG, JRPG actually, released I think in 2006 by Microsoft Game Studios. They are the dudes that published it, and it was done by a developer, Mistwalker, and Artoon. I haven't heard of Artoon, though I have heard of Mistwalker. This was Mistwalker's first foray into making the development of games, actually. And it was helmed by Hironobu Sakaguchi, who was had a lot to do with
like
some of
the
Final Fantasy stuff.
Final Fantasy dude. Artoon is... I'm not a fan of Artoon. They're the ones that did Yoshi's Island DS, which I didn't care for. Yoshi's Tilt and Tumble for the Game Boy Advance. They did the Blinks games for Xbox. They were the geniuses behind those stinkers. So yeah, Artoon,
well,
not my favorite studio.
I don't blame you. I can't really remember what else Mistwalker did besides this game.
Didn't they do Lost Odyssey? I think, was that also Mistwalker?
I thought that was Square. Or no, Square did something
Square
else.
Square was chunking out the Final Fantasies. Yeah, they did Blue Dragon and Lost Odyssey.
Okay.
Oh, and they
did
the
last
story on Wii, which was good.
Yeah, so, I mean, out of the two, I did pick Lost Odyssey because it was a much more serious game, and I don't know, I was angsty, so Lost Odyssey had a lot more to offer, and as far as like angst went, that game was angst ridden.
It was
anyway.
Main character, he's looking at you on the cover just saying, "I am filled with angst and you will buy this game."
Yeah,
I will not get a haircut.
Yeah, and that story was sad, but again, another story for another time. Blue Dragon, really what kind of drew me in when I first picked it up was I looked at the cover and I'm like, there's something about this. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it, but there's something about this. And it was just, I guess, the art style that drew me in, because it was so like heavily derived on like this manga design almost. And I mean, you could see it. A lot of the animations and stuff just the character design in the game almost looks like something straight out of like an Akira Toriyama manga, like Dragon Ball or something. Just
I mean, even the font that they use is almost exactly resemblant of the Dragon Ball Z font.
Yeah,
like, if you remember, it had that, like, semi-sans.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, this is Akira Toriyama. Toriyama did the art, and I don't know, what really drove me away from this is, like, as soon as Toriyama's doing an RPG on Xbox, that's pretty interesting, but it's, like, it is the most generic Toriyama artwork I've ever seen. Like,
he was like, yeah, whatever, here you go.
This was like the stuff, it's like they asked him to do this, and he just like farted this out in between Dragon Quest projects or something. It was just like, are you kidding me? Like, what? I don't know, you just look at every single one of the characters, it's like, oh, and there's generic girl. And like, you look at the main character, it's Goku with a ponytail, just with his hair pulled into a ponytail. It's young Goku, it's ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I mean, the reason I kind of put it down was because the story was kind of just very meh and didn't really lend itself to much. However, I did find out later on that they, I think, still have an ongoing manga right now, and there's an anime series as well that came out subsequently to the video game. So the video game was first, and then all this other media came out. So I was thinking about maybe trying to get back into it if I had the time ever, which I won't, because I think this game is like somewhere between 20 and 30 hours. So I don't know where the fuck I'm going to find that time.
I did hear that the game was actually pretty good. Like
gameplay wise, you know, it's interesting because you get these sort of avatars that attack for you,
and they are your blue dragons, and they come out of your shadows. It's a weird conceit, but it's, I don't know.
It's interesting. It's an interesting gameplay mechanic all the same. But yeah, I mean, it's colorful, and the fact that, you know, it was in very sharp 3D at the time, that was nice. It was fun to look at, even though it might have been bland by Toriyama standards. It was still cool to see all this in a video game, because before this, I mean, Dragon Quest, more or less, you know, I think probably the most definitive one that I saw that was like a 3D production was on the PS2. I don't remember the number, but it might have been Dragon Quest like 7, or I don't know, 8. Fuck, the guy had a bandana. That's all I remember.
Much like so many other titles.
The PS2 one, that was Dragon Quest 8.
Thank you. Yeah, it was that one. It had like a very cel-shaded look to it. And, yeah. Again, resembled more of a cartoon vibe than this, which was just like someone went into Maya and sculpted these characters, which is different.
It was weird. It was an oddly, like, it was supposed to, it was colorful but blandly dark at the same time. And this was one of the first RPGs that actually hit the Xbox 360.
2006. So yeah, I mean, this was really early
and
on,
like,
too.
But you're seeing something like this. But then Eternal Sonata is right around the corner, because like that came out in June of 2007.
Oh man, that was a good game.
And it was like really colorful and gorgeous. And thinking of like Toriyama's artwork, you know, being displayed on an Xbox 360 was a pretty exciting prospect at the time. And I just remember looking at this game and like not just the character designs, but the actual art direction was so blandly generic. Like it looked like somebody made a full game out of a PS2 cuts or a PS1 era cutscene, and I was I just can't get behind this. But apparently, it was a pretty interesting thing, and it spawned a sequel. I think on the Game Boy Advance or the DS or something, and it's something.
Yeah, I mean, if I ever had the time, I might get back into it. The characters were funny. It definitely had that sort of humor that you'd find in something like Dragon Ball, but. Yeah, it's not something I'd probably go out of my way to go get or anything, especially because it's somewhat expensive to purchase. So
if anybody wants to send it to him for Christmas, yeah, he won't mind.
Send it to mail@geekade.com. No, that doesn't work.
Yes, email it to us.
Email a copy.
Yeah.
Or them, not us. I'm, you know,
I'm gonna start getting so many ROM hacks and stuff, guys.
It's just going to be a Final Fantasy game reskinned as that game.
Oh, great. I mean, that might be better.
I'm just
going
to send you a copy of Dragon Quest Swords for the Wii and write Blue Dragon and Crayon on the cover of it. It's just totally...
Or they could do you a real favor and send you Dark Cloud and call it Blue Dragon.
Oh. Whoa.
Wow.
I wouldn't
we all win.
Wouldn't... So, yeah, I mean, that's my pick. I can't really recommend anyone to go out of their way and get this, but you know, if you were at a GameStop and you happen to find it in a bin, I would buy it, man. I mean, if at the least, if you're not going to play it, it's kind of a cool collector's item because it's one of really the only 360 games that has that sort of art direction to it. I mean, if anything on the system could match that, I don't think anything can. So,
well, I mean, the Dragon Ball Z games kind of match that. But
yeah, I was about to say. Well, you could just play the real. You know, it's kind of the not. It's essentially this is the this is to Dragon Ball as Dark Cloud is to Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess this is just something a little different from Dragon Ball because. I mean, there's not really a Dragon Ball RPG out there, nor do I think I want one.
Oh, why not?
I don't know. I'd have to think
I'm
about it.
I'm pretty sure there's anyway. RPGs out there, to be honest with you. I think there was a couple on Super Nintendo back in the day. Or Super Famicom, that is. And you had that weird Dragon Ball Z Sagas game for PS2 and Xbox and GameCube that was like... It was like an action RPG made out of Dragon Ball. It was really, really terrible. It was just an awful, awful game.
I can't imagine why.
Dragon Ball Z Sagas. Or as my customers would call it, Dragon Ball Z Segas.
Stop.
I'm not kidding.
Don't stop.
Well, all right. I tell you what. You go.
Yeah, let's... Okay.
Moving on. All right, so if I had copious amounts of spare time, and there was one RPG I would go back to, it would be Panzer Dragoon Saga, because I never got to finish this game. I've tried playing this a couple of different times, and each time I love the Panzer Dragoon franchise to death. And I've played through all of the shooters, but Saga is just like, it's friggin' long. It came out close to around when Final Fantasy VII was big, and this one's like on four discs, but it was on the Sega Saturn and it released in really limited quantities. And it's like a super expensive game now. Which makes me incredibly glad that I bought it when I did, because it goes for hundreds of dollars. But it's freaking fascinating. From a gameplay perspective, it's kind of like a precursor to come on, you can do this. Skies of Arcadia. Like where all the turn-based stuff is all like on your dragon and you're flying through the air and like kind of, you know, shooting in different directions and whatnot. And the Panzer Dragoon mythology is really bizarre. Like, there's this weird made-up language that all the characters speak, and it's got full voice acting and what would be considered at the time high-quality cutscenes, but unfortunately, because it was on the Saturn, the compression is just, like, is so ridiculous that they're hard to look at. I would love for there to be some sort of HD remaster of this, but I don't think anyone at Sega is talented enough to pull it off these days. But... it's not an easy...
Shots fired.
Yeah, well, sonic boom, ladies and gentlemen.
They've been fired. Yeah, where are your frames? Where are they? They got lost somewhere.
They don't exist.
Apparently.
They don't exist.
Yeah. They got lost in the mountain of cocaine they spent all their budget on.
I mean, to be fair, you know what? They did make the Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing Transformed, which is pretty freaking good, but that's pretty much it. That's all they've got cooking these days, besides like the pachinko machines or whatever.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna take a step back, because Sega did make a game that I am enjoying a lot right now. I'm gonna place this squarely on the Sonic team.
Yeah, Sonic team is prolifically terrible. Like, they had a chance to
make
made
very questionable choices.
They had they got the green light to make a sequel to Knights, and they couldn't even pull that off. Like, Knights is a simple game. There's nothing to it. And they're like, all right, cool. We'll have a couple of flying segments, and we're going to do all these on-foot missions as the kids, and they're going to be terrible. It's such a shame.
Did they say in the board meeting they're going to be terrible?
Probably. They were like, look, Sonic Team, we want you to make a new Knights game. We want you to make it for the Wii. And they're going to be like, all right, but it's going to fucking suck.
And it was completely in that voice where they sounded like super drunk. Well, they probably were super drunk. They're like, sounds like a really good idea. I'll do you one better. I'll make the whole game in a week. Bet I couldn't. I can.
They pulled an ET. Okay.
No, let's make sure there's a talking owl in the game and like lots of exposition. Let's get really high and watch a bunch of anime. Oh, put these
and
big
Funyuns.
Black lips on the villain character too. That's gonna be awesome. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, no one will take that the wrong way, right?
No. Oh God, some of the art direction in that game is just like, what the hell? Anyway, Panzer Dragoon. Speaking of weird, it's just this awesome, awesome game that is totally legendary, has never been re-released on anything, is almost impossible to find. I have it, and I have a Saturn, and just finding the time to play it would be just such a difficult task. But if I had like a month just set aside that I could just have my Saturn somewhere safely hooked up and the battery backup repaired, because I'm pretty sure the battery's dead in my Saturn, I would so play the heck out of this game.
So then, I think the question is, why don't we do this? And I know we keep saying, you know, if you have the time, but you set aside so much time already, you know, to do things. And honestly, I mean, like, this has, doing this today is really just like, fuck, why don't I? Yeah, you know what, I'm going to do it. If I need to set aside the time, I'm going to do it. Even if it takes me a year to go through this, and I know Dark Cloud doesn't take that long anywhere near in comparison to, like, Panzer and all that, but, you know, it's like, just do it, you know? You know?
Well, to throw
sometimes
things
you just gotta say.
Into perspective, I just finished my first playthrough of Earthbound, which was also on my list for, like, the longest time. That was released on the Virtual Console in 2013, which I bought the day it was released in 2013, and I beat it, like, a week ago. And Earthbound, I believe, is a shorter game than Dragoon Saga.
Yeah. Well, you know, but hey, so this can be your fill-in. You know, you had that, and it took you 2 years, and now it's time to go on to your next 2 to 5 year segment of
all right,
Chris
Ian in 2020.
Yeah.
And the trouble is that, like, all right, so Earthbound, I was able to play on the Virtual Console, so I had save states, and I could just, like, I could play it for 5 minutes and stop and literally pick up right where I left off. Saturn does not have that capability. Like, I will have to find save points. Like, that I will have to wait for it to boot up every time. Like, that's a commitment that I wish I had the time to make. And maybe I will someday in the not too distant future, but I'm gonna say that there's other games on my list that I need to finish first.
Yeah, the Zelda series on the CDI.
Yes,
we need to
polish those off. We need to.
Chris and I, not too long ago, in the distant past. That's contradicting.
Not too long ago,
but,
in the distant
okay.
past.
I think it's more redundant. Well, no.
We played both of them, right, or all three? All right, of them,
we looked at the horror that is Zelda's Adventure. And then we moved right on to, I think, Link Faces of Evil, which was the one that we spent all the time.
Oh, okay.
With. And then we played Wand of Gamelon for a few minutes just so that I could show you that it was almost exactly the same game, except with Zelda instead of Link. We started to get somewhere in Faces of Evil. That's something I want to do. I want to put that notch on my bedpost, as they say. I want to have that game under my belt as been completed. And just so you know, I don't have the controller for the CDI. We were playing that on the one-handed remote thing, and not even the one with a bunch of buttons on it. It was the one that was like
we made that
the
shit
little
work.
Circle.
Oh my god!
And like a trigger. Like, oh god, that was painful. Because I had always
so it's like trying to beat a game with the power glove.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was close. It was like beating a game with the power glove if you were fisting yourself with the power glove.
Well, I mean, now you're intriguing me. Before I was not very interested, but let me tell you what dreams that I've had.
You have the power.
Well,
hi, I'm Alex. Nice to meet you. Like, like long walks on the beach and fisting myself with power gloves.
Oh, okay. So, Panzer Dragoon.
Panzer Dragoon Saga. Yes, indeed. Totally awesome game if you can get it. And if you can go through the bizarre steps it takes to play it, you should totally do so. So, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some news stories and it's called a night. So, stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. First up, Fallout 4 has been released into the wild. Perhaps you've heard of it. It's the game that's taken over the lives of millions, nay, billions, including Brandon and Travis of Apathetic Enthusiasm. How have they fared in the wasteland? You can find out in Apathetic Enthusiasm Episode 40, Fallout Boys.
Next, professional wrestling and video games go together like burly men and leotards. Boy, don't they ever. But of all the great wrestling games that have been made over the years, only one features a mysterious Mexican in a skin-tight pink suit with a star on his face, a green man who eats people's heads, and a pale blonde man who boasts about how slender he is. So why hasn't Nintendo given us the chance to play with these colorful characters on our modern TVs? Don't miss the latest Lost in Time entry, Pro Wrestling, A Winner Is You.
I called him Mysterious because on his bio, it's where it says where he's from. It says Mexico, question mark. Phenomenal.
I don't know.
Phenomenal.
It might be Puerto Rico or Cuba. Ah, who cares?
He's covered in head to toe in pink spandex, so how can they tell? Like, maybe he talks with a thick Mexican accent? I don't know. I love that game. I love it so much.
Then, the Paper Cuts crew gather to talk comics, because that's literally the purpose of the podcast. Cast be jerks, drinks be spilled, and wars will be secret. How secret, you ask? More secret than your dad's porn stash he's been hiding from your mother for the past 30 years. Don't miss the all-new Paper Cuts podcast, issue 58, I Got the Giggles.
Finally, Chris has let his Pokemoning slide. His Zubats are atrophied. Oh no. His Wartortle is bored. Oh jeez. His Game Boy is covered in dust. Chris, that's deplorable. What has gone wrong? Will he ever find out what Team Rocket is up to? You need to. They're fucking bad guys, man. Will he have to start all over again following the latest Nintendo? No, fuck no, you don't. No, don't you start over.
Convenience, Dean, the convenience factor. I am too lazy to plug in a Game Boy Advance charger. I have a charging cradle for my 3DS.
Hey man, rock the cradle of 3DS.
Get the answers to all these burning questions and more in Pokemon Appreciation Day 398. It's been more than a year now. Chris, how far have you gotten again?
I don't even remember. It's been over a month since I've played it. You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com.
Hey, hey, Street Fighter, keep fighting, make the future brighter. Go ahead, Street Fighter.
And we have returned. We have talked a little bit more about my Pokemon problems, and we still have not come to any positive resolutions. It's going to be a long night. Anyway, let's talk about, there were a handful of things that happened in the news this week that were worth bringing up. So I'm just going to say some headlines and we're going to give our thoughts on them. First up, Street Fighter Cross G.I. Joe is a comic book that's a real thing and is happening.
I'm already buying 20 copies.
Shadaloo is teaming up with Cobra. What do we think?
Yes.
I don't see why not.
To say?
I mean, it's the thing that we've all been waiting for. You know, we've had Batman and Superman. We've had Ron Jeremy and Pamela Anderson. You know, it's time that we finally get what we deserve, and that is the power of Street Fighter and G.I. Joe.
Dude, this is seriously, like, this is as American as Guile can get. Like
there
is no more America.
Fighting with G.I. Joe is going to be like the... It's just... patriotism. I think the pages of the book will be pressed on bald eagle feathers. Like,
I would love that.
And it will be written in the ink that they have drawn from real American flags.
They will have dunked them and wrung them out, created ink from the drippings.
Accidentally left it on hot instead of turning it to cold, so the colors ran.
Oh, okay.
I love everything about the concept of this crossover. I absolutely love it. It's like Archie Punisher levels of ridiculous, but it makes so much sense when you think about it. Like, what?
No, it does.
Of course. No, this is perfect. Because, like, the cast of Street Fighter is like missing G.I. Joe characters. Like, because all the G.I. Joe characters are just fucking ridiculous to begin with. It's like, of course there's a green guy that can electrocute people on the team. Why wouldn't he be there? Oh, there's a sumo. Sure, let's do it. Why not? He can launch himself like a missile.
Why not? And you're stupid for asking.
Oh, God. If only there was like a line of action figures based on this, my life would be complete.
Hey, you know what? Everything starts by rallying and screaming at people to make toys.
That's right.
That's true.
This is IDW.
Okay, all right.
And they're like, so IDW is behind the Batman Ninja Turtles crossover, which I cannot wait for.
Yeah, they're doing a lot of things,
IDW,
man.
IDW is like,
they're
on the ball with some of their stuff. Some of their other stuff, who the hell knows? But they know how to do licensing, and they do it well. I'm friggin' jazzed about this. I'm you know, I would wish that I really want to know what the tone of this is going to be, because I've only seen like some artwork and it looks freaking great, but it looks like cover art because it's all painted and whatnot. I'm curious what the tone's going to be like, because after the Mega Man Sonic debacle,
let's not talk about
like
that.
God, what a disappointment. The way they handled the Street Fighter characters in there made me really sad. So I'm hopeful that the tone will be better in this particular crossover, because it's got to be ridiculous, but it's also got to take itself at least a little seriously. Whereas the Mega Man Sonic one was just like, just complete goofball ridiculousness.
Well, I give Ian Flynn plenty of credit, though, because he wrote all those goddamn books, every single one.
And it seemed to be in a very limited amount of time for what he needed to do, because if you think back to the first Mega Man Sonic crossover, that was outstanding. And that was...
But that was almost over, like, 6 months, and he only had to do two or three books.
Yeah, it was like, he's just crossing over these worlds, and then this one was just like, I'm going to cross over every world from Capcom and Sega. It's going to be ridiculous. And it was just a shame. It was a more ambitious project, but God, man, if you have not read Worlds Collide, and you want to know what would happen if Dr. Robotnik and Dr. Wily teamed up, it's like the perfect representation of that. It's yeah. So good. It's so good. Have you?
I think it's in trade now too.
Yeah, it's in. I think it's like in two different volumes. Alex, have you read that by any chance?
Nope, but it is on my list. Don't you worry.
So ridiculous. Dr. Robotnik tries to kill Dr. Light, and Dr. Wily is like, whoa, I just want to discredit the guy.
He's like, Jesus Christ, man, like, put down the gun. What the fuck?
That's like how he reacts. That's happens. Exactly yeah. What goes down. He's like, okay, this guy is crazy. It's so good. It is so good. Oh, boy. All right. So, yay, Street Fighter Cross G.I. Joe. It's a thing. I'm so happy it's happening. Moving on. Next news story. November 18th, which was today, the day we're recording, is the GameCube and Wii U's birthday. And November 16th was Shigeru Miyamoto's 63rd birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, everybody. What are your birthday wishes to all three of these entities? Dean, go.
Shigeru turns into a GameCube Transformer.
And for the GameCube?
The GameCube turns into a Wii Transformer.
And for the Wii U?
The Wii U turns into a Nintendo NX, and I get it, like, right now.
Fantastic. Alex, what are your birthday wishes that you would give to the GameCube, Wii U, and Shigeru Miyamoto?
I wish that Shigeru Miyamoto would ride beside me on a chariot made out of GameCubes and Wiis to the new Nintendo theme park.
All right, scratch that. I want that one.
Oh, boy, I actually didn't prepare anything myself, so let's see, off the top of my head. The GameCube, I would wish, grapes, because they're purple. Boy, that came out well. For the Wii U, I wish that you would, my birthday wish to you would be to continue to be happy and find a way to get that legal name changed that I know you really want. And Shigeru Miyamoto, I would wish for you to come to America and give me a hug and a high five.
He's a big fan of the show. That might happen.
It's
now.
True. It might. All right. Well, let's see. Next news story. This makes me so happy that I don't even know what to do with myself. Rift Tracks has riffed the wizard.
Oh no!
Oh man, I need to go download that like right
it
now.
It will be available. On
I'm
November
already
20th.
Doing it.
Oh, I gotta wait. I gotta wait two more days.
I believe
days?
This is the first one they've ever pre-ordered. Like, Mike Nelson is a big retro gamer, and he was so excited that they did this movie that he posted about it on Twitter. He was like, we don't really do pre-orders, but you can pre-order this right now because I'm freaking stoked. I cannot wait. I love that movie to death, and I also love how terrible it is. I cannot wait for this experience.
It's so bad.
The Wizard? It's bad.
It's so bad.
It's good bad, though.
It's Power Glove bad.
It's Power Glove. There you go.
Tying it all like, back in. Mm-hmm. Lucas and his
like pair of shoes.
The girl from Rilo Kiley. And oh, man. There's so much to love. In fact, the tweet there where Mike Nelson was like all jazzed about it said that it was his favorite Tobey Maguire performance. And it was that one shot where Tobey Maguire was in the background as part of Lucas's gang. Oh, God.
Oh, speaking of releases, Jessica Jones is right around the corner, isn't
it? Oh,
nope.
Yes, it is. Purple Man.
Yeah, nope. Excitement.
David Tennant is going to rape everybody.
Wow, okay.
Oh, well, now I'll watch it. See, like, nobody told me that. This whole time they're like, Jessica Jones. I'm like, I don't give a shit. You can take that and the new Supergirl show and shove them right up your ass.
And but that's now what David Tennant's going to do. He's going to rape people with that.
And had I known that we had the same vision, I would have totally been on board.
Have you seen, I saw this clip from it, that which was David Tennant walking into a house and like just walked into the house and said, you want to invite me in? And then, like, the wife's in the kitchen be like, you want to make me dinner, and I'd better like it. And then, like, the kid is like, who are you? And he looks at the kid and is like, children are better seen, not heard. You're going to hide in the closet. And the kid just goes into the closet. It's so fucking creepy. I'm so excited. Dude, like...
what the fuck?
David Tennant is going to be incredible. And the Purple Man is like, he is a screwed up villain. I cannot believe that they are doing him. Because, like, there's no way it's not getting rapey. And, like, you've watched all the previews. That's totally the direction that they're going with it. Like, he has made people do some awful things. I'm fucking jazzed for the show. It's going to be gross and awesome.
Yeah, Netflix does good work, man. Daredevil was a yes. I'm expecting no less.
Indeed.
We'll see. I have my doubts, but... I'm not a man that normally has doubts. I'll pretty much watch anything, just because why not? This is one thing that I'm like, I want to see how well you can do with this, because you're taking something that, though it does have content, you're taking something that you're really going to have to push, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about Jessica Jones to begin with. Like, I know that she's married to Luke Cage. I've never read Alias. I hear it's incredible. But I know that I know I like David Tennant, and I know what I know about the Purple Man is that he's an extremely messed up villain. And so, and they've earned a lot of goodwill with me with Daredevil. So I'm game. I'm friggin' stoked for it. But more importantly, Riff Trax has done the Wizard.
Tying it all back in, Chris.
God damn, I love that movie to death, and I'm so excited. So yes, November 20th, rifftrax.com. And while you're at it, I'm going to shamelessly plug the Mystery Science Theater Kickstarter again, because I'm a huge Mystery Science Theater fan, and it's been funded enough to do the 3 episodes, but we want to make it all the way to the 5.5 million so that they can like properly get a new season of the show done, because it warms my heart. Mystery Science Theater, Kickstarter, do it. Anyway.
I'm already on it.
Activision bought King, the company that tried to copyright the word candy, because they made Candy Crush and they think that they can own the English language. Good for them, I guess. I don't know. How do you guys feel about this?
It was for a large, like in the billions, right?
It really was, which surprises me because I feel like the Candy Crush thing has been on a bit of a decline. And it seems like an odd time for Activision to be like, yeah, I'll take that.
Activision makes some weird decisions.
You know, but they make some good decisions too, like the Tony Hawk's Pro Skater series.
The first few.
That a series was a... Look, Activision is the first third party. Like, they've been around longer than anyone else. They were the first third party game development company. And the fact that they're still around and haven't changed their logo really says something.
Impressive.
It's very impressive. This just
it's literally the exact same intro. They haven't even reanimated it. It's pretty cool.
I mean, you can see that logo on Atari 2600 games. It's insane. I don't know. I Activision is like, I have kind of a love-hate relationship with them because they've made some great things, Tony Hawk, and then they drove Tony Hawk into the ground by releasing it every year. Guitar Hero, same thing. Great product, drove it into the ground with new releases every single year. Like, Activision is very much taking the good with the bad, but this whole them buying King, I have nothing but utter disdain for the company King. Like, they're I find them repugnant. They're just awful, and...
Well, it's a joke. I mean, they're really it's one of those few companies where I'll be like, you are a joke. Yeah. You mean nothing at all. I will be very hateful toward you because you suck.
They're
well, I mean, it's just one of those companies that got lucky with a fucking gem swap game of all things, and it took off. Same thing with Zynga, Farmville. Like, all right, good, you made a fucking social game. You know?
Where's Zynga now?
You don't even want to know, man.
Hiding all of our suicide stories from middle school.
Oh, God.
Did they buy Grokster or Friendster or something?
Exactly.
They're the proud owners of a... What was the... Oh, jeez. I can't even think of it now. Move on.
Well, I'd like to add that though they are repugnant, like you said, they go to prove... Actually, these are completely unrelated things. They go to prove that you can add candy into anything and people will buy it. Example, chocolate diamonds. Boom.
That's true. Chocolate diamonds are pretty ugly, but people will buy those.
Yep.
It's true. Now, what else? I mean, chocolate-covered bacon.
Ugh. People, that's bacon and chocolate.
That shit's
delicious. That's just...
It's not as good as candied bacon,
I've never had it, in my opinion, though.
My wife made candied bacon once. Now, that was legit. Chocolate-covered bacon is good. But, man, if you really want to go for the hardcore stuff, candied bacon is where it is at.
The hardcore stuff?
If you really want to get in some bad shit, man.
You really want to regret how you feel in the morning. Nay, for the rest of your life, get a tray of candied bacon and just live the dream.
You think you hate yourself and you drink Wells whiskey all night and smoke cheap 305 cigarettes? You don't hate yourself. You've never had candied bacon.
It's so good. It's so bad, but so good.
I've never tried it.
You really should. And try to find a small portion of it, because if there's more than a small portion in front of you, you will eat all of it, because it is possibly the most delicious thing I've ever put in my body.
Yeah, I just, you know, for me, it's like, I have, if you can't tell, I have grown up here in the South from birth until now, and, you know, at least on my end of my family, we take our bacon very seriously. Mm-hmm. People are trying to pussy it up by covering it in sugar and shit. They're like, no. I mean, chocolate bacon, that's all right. You know, chocolate's cool. Again, I, you know, attach candy to it, and I'm, okay, sure, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, man.
You're speaking to somebody who also takes his bacon very seriously. I love me some bacon. And it is just the most masterful piece of meat imaginable. It's a phenomenal thing. And... The concept of candied bacon was a little concerning to me, because how do you improve upon perfection? Like, this is bacon we're talking about. What more do you need to do to it? But when my wife brought out this tray of candied bacon, and I thought, what the hell am I looking at? And it's like, because, all right, some of my very favorite bacon is like maple bacon. You know what I mean? You pair bacon with breakfast pancakes and whatnot a lot. So the concept of syrup and bacon is a good combination, the salty and sweet. It is a winning combo. This has taken that to, instead of it just being syrup on the side, now the syrup is molten hot and coating and sticking to the bacon and is super sweet and is just, it's meat crack.
Chris, I hate to cut the bacon cast short, but we got to get back to video games.
All right, bacon, good times. All right,
bacon, good times.
Last
happy birthday, bacon.
Happy birthday, bacon. Best day ever. Last news story I've got. Cloud is in Super Smash Brothers.
Ooh,
yay!
Yeah, I mean, they essentially just reskinned. Jesus. Going back to the brain
Jesus?
Thing.
Oh my yes, god.
They de-skinned Jesus, actually. That's a different story that we'll get into later.
Okay. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Anyhow, yeah, it's interesting. I think it's going to be fun, but I think that he's just going to play like some of the other characters that we'll leave not named.
I guess he kind of reminded me a little bit of Shulk, but they've done a... I feel like in the actual different characters, they've done a very good job of making them different. Like, I mean, you've got the clone characters that are just obviously clone characters, but I mean, Marth / Lucina plays different from Ike, plays different from Shulk, plays different from Link. You know what I mean? Like, they've done a good job of that. Now, Cloud inherently seems like he's a dude with a big heavy sword. So he seems like he would inherently play like either Ike or Shulk, but it looked like he was, you know, incorporating some of the magic elements into him. I don't know how they're incorporating the limit breaks into his abilities, because like I thought Shulk was going to be another clone character, but then like as soon as I started, he's got the different modes that he can slip himself into, you know, a very different, you know, way he hits people with his sword and whatnot. So I don't know, I'm gonna remain hopeful, because this Sakurai has not let me down with this new Smash at all. It's just so freaking weird. Like, I watched that trailer, when that came on, I'm looking at it going, what?
This, excuse me?
Literally, my reaction was tilting my head and saying, what? Over and over again. And if my two-year-old son could talk in any way that made sense, he would verify this, because he was sitting in my lap, and I'm just going to like, what? It's, what? Where did
dude, that battle music came on, and I got an erection, man. I was ready to fucking play Cloud right then and there.
It's
yeah. I mean, I'd like to go ahead and say I'm definitely not saying this is a bad thing. I feel like I got off on the wrong foot here, because I too had lifted my table off the ground ever so slightly.
This is. All right, so I've seen a lot of people making the argument like, oh, Cloud's appeared in Nintendo games before. It's like, all right, he's been in Theater Rhythm and Kingdom Hearts offshoots as like a supporting character. So, yes, he's technically appeared on Nintendo platforms, but Final Fantasy VII was the game that was not on Nintendo 64. Like, that was the game that represented Squaresoft saying, fuck you and your cartridges, we're going to PlayStation. Like,
but it also goes to show that they're like, you know, they come up and they're like, hey, here's some money, do this, and Nintendo's like, fuck it, why not, people will like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would love to know where this came from, because I feel like if this was a result of the Smash poll, that we would have heard that this was the result of the Smash poll. You know, like, this has probably been in the works for a while. Like, this was probably a plan. And, like, Square and Nintendo are fucking tight these days. Like, Nintendo is publishing two Dragon Quest games next year. Bravely Default did incredibly well for them. Like, Square and Nintendo are definitely buddies. So, it's just so interesting, like, on so many levels, because level number one, you've got the whole fact that Cloud represents Square leaving Nintendo, basically. This is the first time, like, that piece of the franchise is really going to show up on a Nintendo platform, and in a pretty big, bad way. And then you've got the fact that they couldn't get Cloud in PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, but Cloud's in Smash Brothers.
Because they didn't want Cloud to
be in the plan the whole time.
They didn't want him to be in a shitty game. And, like, you could probably say that it's because of the, like, I was just listening to a podcast that had brought up the fact that PlayStation All-Stars was developed in America, and maybe it's like a whole Japan versus America thing, but that just still strikes me as so odd, because, like, Cloud has been so associated with PlayStation over the years, and I don't know, boy. I just think of the prospect of the Final Fantasy VII remake coming to NX, and I'm like, that would be delightful. Not that I'm the hugest fan of Final Fantasy VII, but I would be willing to give it another shot in a remade format. Who knows? But yeah, that was far and away the strangest news that I heard this week. I mean, it looks incredible. I love the stage. The stage is awesome looking, with the summons, the one that cuts the stage in half, and like it almost has like a weird Pokemon Stadium vibe to it from the stage standpoint,
yeah,
and environmental effects. But geez, I can't wait to hear what music they throw in there too.
Well, hey, it's probably going to be orchestrated music from Advent Children.
Could be, but I mean, like, I think about the Advent Children. Get in this ice cream truck, kids. What the hell is going on?
Oh, man.
That was a weird game. That was a weird movie.
That was a weird, weird movie, and I did not care for it. See, like, all right, so they did Ryu, right? They threw Ryu in Smash Brothers, and that stage was incredible. And they had music from the original arcade game, and then all new remixes just for Smash Brothers. Like, they've done that with all the characters that they've thrown in there so far. I'm fascinated to hear, like, even the weird stages that they added, like the N64 Zelda stage, that came with brand new music just for Wii U Smash Brothers. Like, just for that stage, like, not just the old music, but brand new remixes, and they were fucking incredible, too. So, just thinking about what they could have going on with the music that would come with this Cloud stage is just like, oh, I'm fucking jazzed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those, it's going to be one of those tracks that I end up listening to on YouTube over and over again.
Probably. I can't imagine it not being that. So this being said, assuming that this is not the Smash Paul character, who do you think is, what do you think is going to come of that? Because they announced like a supposedly final Smash presentation next month, which I'm assuming that's when they're going to announce who won the Smash Paul and what's going on with that. Who do you think it's going to be?
Personally, I think that it's going to be the hooker from The Legend of Zelda 2.
Sure. All right.
What would her moves be?
Squat. Sit. Roll.
Walk in and out of doors.
Thrust.
Yeah. Talk. Let's see.
Oral.
Yeah, that's her special.
Tell me the alternate costume is the old lady who replenishes your magic. With all the same
animations. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You'll see. Oh, absolutely. The exact same ones. Yep. Oh, I'm excited. I've seen a few leaks. You know, if you go back and play it, there are a couple little Easter eggs in the game where they hint that she's going to be the release, the pole release. And the fact that they knew back then just goes to show how smart and well-versed Nintendo is and what their fans want. You know, they even knew before. We didn't have to ask.
Sakurai was like 12 when that game came out. He was already planning this shit.
Yeah.
He's been working up to this. This is his masterpiece.
Oh, God.
Actually, in all seriousness, wasn't Goku really, really, really high on the poll?
Well, nobody knows.
He was up there.
Well, they haven't really announced, they haven't released any actual information other than people saying, oh, I've been voting for like Goku like fucking crazy. I'm sure he's high up there, but I also sincerely doubt that they will put him in there.
That's the thing. I could see so many license blocks and stuff, and he just doesn't really fit well.
Yeah, I feel like the one rule that they won't break with Smash Brothers is that it's for video game characters, and just because he's
technically is a video game character.
Yeah, but he's an anime
Not
character.
Originally.
Yeah, he's...
I know. It's just... It would be kind of cool just to blast Mario with a fucking Kamehameha.
I mean, in a different game, I don't think he belongs in Smash Brothers, especially considering how many other interesting video game characters exist. Like, I mean, for me, the most obvious choice is Simon Belmont. That's who I voted for.
Oh, man.
Castlevania needs to be represented in Smash.
Can we get naked, like fucking gimp-looking Simon Belmont?
Old school Simon Belmont? Hell yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, that one.
I would love that. I actually read somewhere online, this was the best idea I had ever heard, that the character could just be Belmont, and it would be like palette swaps, kind of like the Koopa Kids. And they'd all have the same moveset, but you could choose between Simon, Trevor, Christopher, Richter, Joost, whatever the hell the guy from the PS2 one, Lament of Innocence was. Like, that would just be incredible. Just absolutely incredible. But
that would be cool.
But I mean,
that's a good call, Chris.
Even taking away Simon Belmont, like, you know, Bomberman, Toe Jam and Earl, Echo the Dolphin.
You shut your mouth. If they show up on that, I'll die. I'll die a happy person.
Toe Jam and Earl would be incredible. Oh. They would just be like lethargic and awesome. I would pay money for Echo the Dolphin.
Oh my god, DLC baby.
I want him to be a Smash character. I don't know how he would work.
Even an assist trophy would be funny.
Even an assist, I want him to be like in a tub of water, just flopping around.
You can't do anything.
You shoot the sound waves at you and they don't do anything. Oh god. And it would just be there to confuse you, just like the Echo of the Dolphin games.
I'm also really voting for some Nintendogs characters.
Besides the assist trophies, just to have them in there.
Actually, they all come together to make a human.
Well, no, they all come together to make an even bigger dog.
Giant dog or cat. Nintendogs plus cats was a thing.
Oh yeah, we can't be racist here, and I agree.
We can't.
I agree.
We'd all be scared of cucumbers, because that's a thing.
Yes. So now we just need a character that throws cucumbers to be its rival.
Jesus Christ.
I'm voting for Croc.
Oh, God.
Blasto?
You can't put Blasto in there. Phil Hartman's dead.
Oh, God. Why?
Oh.
No, nobody, nobody else should voice Blasto. He should remain exactly the way he is.
I mean, they just use clips. Like, use already recorded stuff. And, I mean, do it like how they ended The Crow after Brandon Lee died.
Yeah, true. Oh, boy.
Not saying that I'm, you know, really into that movie or anything.
Anyhow.
So, is that it, Chris? Are we done with the news?
I think that's going to be it. I'm all out of good ideas for Smash. Yeah. Jam and Earl and Smash. Simon Belmont and Smash. Make it happen. All right, well, that's going to be our show. Alex, thank you very much for joining us, for being our special guest, our special
thank you
for the beer.
Yeah, glory. Thank you for having me on and listening to my rambles.
Anytime, you're an amusing gentleman. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I am @GeekadeChris. That's Geekade, KRIS. Dean is available
@Kimono_VestLord.
And Alex, are you on the Twitter?
Probably.
That's okay if you're not. I mean,
no, we do have a Twitter. I'm not super active on it, but Beige Moose totally has a Twitter. It's not that hard to find. Go look. Use your eyeballs.
Excellent. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com, where we post something new every single day, except Sundays, because we're tired. We'll see you again right here in 1 week. Thank you again, Alex, for joining us. Thanks for listening. And on behalf of myself, Sick Dan, and Dean, keep playing games.
I'm Jigglypuff.
Now, do you mean the mustache or a stash of porno?
Porn. Oh, goddamn, you're right. More secret than your dad's pornography stash of porno magazines, damn it.
It's done. It's okay.
He's hiding his porn stash in his porn stash.
I was going to be like, man, that's really impressive. Mustache. He's having a mustache? That's tough. Oh, okay.
It's been on his chin this whole time.
Oh,